Each day is an opportunity to be better than the last.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball. Today we're going to be looking back at a paltry two-game slate for the NBA on Thursday, and then previewing a big nine-game Friday, talking about some other news that did go down in the last 24 hours. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it indeed. Let's start where we always do on this show, of course, with
Monstrous Line of the Night.
The Monstrous Line of the Night goes to Damian Lillard of the Portland Trailblazers in the overtime loss to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Lillard had 51 points, which included 3 triples, 5 rebounds, 9 assists, 1 steal. He added 2 blocks. He shot 54% from the field and was 18 of 20 from the free throw line. An absolutely overall huge performance from Lillard. He is the 12th ranked player over the course of this season, 10th over the last 2 months. That's around the spot where he was drafted, just as consistent as they come. 9th last season, 10th this season, or 12th this season. That's right in that range, end of the first round, start of the second round, exactly where you drafted him. And when you're picking in that first round, getting a guy who delivers exactly what you want is exactly what you want. And that's exactly what Lillard has been. You imagine you could get another season or two out of him at that same level. He was fantastic. Unfortunately, the Blazers could not get over the line in today's game against the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Waiver wire line of the night.
It was quite a thin day just in terms of performances, so some of these awards are going to be pretty irrelevant. I think Wesley Matthews was our waiver wire line of the night. 34 minutes for Wes, 10 points with 2 triples, 3 rebounds, 2 assists and 2 steals. At this point, if you're looking to roster Wes Matthews, you're doing it just for the three-pointers. He's averaging 2.3 triples per game. Now, over the last 11 games, he's averaging 13 points and 2.6 threes with 1.1 steals. Yeah, the shooting is not good. The free throws are solid enough, 88% on 3 attempts, but you're looking at him as a 3-point streamer, a better 3-point streamer than, say, a Wayne Ellington, a Reggie Bullock, a Landry Shamet even, but not a high-priority 12-team ad sort of a player. He's rostered in 38% of Yahoo leagues, and that's about right. You add him in if you need those, you know, in 4 games, he could hit you 10, 11, 12 threes, which could be useful. He can give you, you know, 3 to 4 steals, maybe even 5 steals in those games over a week. And that's interesting enough to at least consider in the right matchup and to be streamed in on those days where you need those categories. But what Wes is doing at the moment is in no way over what he would normally do or under what he would normally do, just that solid type of production. The deep leaguer of the night is the Cock Monster, Kyle O'Quinn of the Indiana Pacers. Just the 13 minutes for O'Quinn, 11 and 5 on 71% shooting. When Domantas Sabonis returns, O'Quinn goes back to DNPs. He's been less effective than I thought he would be in this little stretch with Sabonis out, because they've been running a lot more TJ Leaf than I anticipated. O'Quinn has always been an excellent fantasy guy that if he played 25 a night, he'd be a 12-team staple. But it's been a little bit worse this season than what we've seen in the past. And this is, you know, interesting here, but the only reason he really got this award today is because it just was a two-game slate. Probably a little bit more interest in the next award, that is the dud of the night. I'm not doing a young gun of the night because literally no young players did anything today. The best young player of the day would have been Terrence Ferguson, but I thought his performance was so piss poor it didn't really necessitate an award. So let's talk dud of the night. It is Nikola Mirotic of the Milwaukee Bucks. Only 19 minutes for Mirotic. He struggled his way to only 2 points, 1 of 6 from the field, had 6 rebounds, a steal and a block, and his production has obviously not been ideal in Milwaukee as he was traded from the Pelicans and recovering from that calf injury. Over the last 2 months, he has not been a top 100 player. In a 10-team league, I think his roster spot is much better served as a streamer. In a 12-team league, it probably is as well. Now, over the last 4 games, he's shooting 27% from the field, is Mirotic, and that's not going to be that poor. Like, he has stretches of good shooting, no doubt, but it's the minutes, the 22 minutes a night that he's playing. His 6 rebounds is okay, a steal, a block, those are okay numbers. but it's those 23 minutes. If he was shooting this poorly at 26 minutes, I'd say hold tight, because when it comes back up and it rebounds to 48% for a week's stretch of time, then you've got a top 70 guy on your hands. But in 22 minutes, you know, what's his peak value here? Does he come up and then maybe for a stretch of time put up top 90 value? That's if the shots actually start falling. I'm not convinced that the minutes are going to be that high. He has played 27 minutes twice for the Bucks, and the games were solid. 3 points. Actually, that's not true. Let me rephrase it. The 27-minute game he played against the Jazz was when Giannis was out and that whole range of guys were out. Bledsoe and Brogdon were out. He had 3 points, and then he played 27 minutes against the Kings where he had 21-8 with 5 triples. He's had some strong games against the Suns, 13-7 with 2 blocks, 17-6 in 18 minutes in his second game. So he is up and down, but when I say that he's not a must-roster guy, it's because the inconsistency is here with him and the limited minutes, meaning if you are streaming that spot and maybe you get 6 games out of his roster spot versus his 3 or 4, that's going to be better value. And that's what it comes down to at this portion of the season, is working out, will someone's consistency and overall value provide more than getting an additional 2 games out of that roster spot, which is generally what you can do through streaming that spot. And I think with Mirotić, with how they're deploying him and with the fact that they're using Ersan Ilyasova almost as much as what they're using with Mirotić, it is hard to consider him a 100% must roster guy, especially in those shallow formats. The goats of the night, the best and worst net rating, Jeremy Grant was a plus 63.1 for the Thunder, while Jake Layman struggled for the Blazers, negative 107.2. Very little to say about those guys. Their value remains very similar to as it was before. Grant as a back-end 12-team league guy, Layman as a deeper league guy. But I guess some of the big news over the day is a couple of injury and rotation notes that did come through the league. LeBron James. It has been discussed between him and the Lakers that they will manage his minutes for the rest of the season, play between 28 and 32 minutes a night. We saw the first one of those against Denver where he played only 31 minutes, and he may sit on some back-to-backs. The Lakers have 3 more back-to-backs this season in their remaining 17 games. So this is obviously going to hurt LeBron's value. He hasn't really been a first-round guy this season anyway, and this is obviously going to take him out of that discussion. If he's playing 4 or 5 fewer minutes per game, it is going to hurt. Not a lot we can really do in this scenario. There's no guarantee that LeBron sits all of those back-to-backs. I imagine he sits at least 2 of them, but we're not sure of that. But it does bring me to a larger point, redrafting in seasonal leagues. A lot of people I saw, and there's probably people listening to this podcast, and people will have their negative opinions of what I'm going to say here, no doubt, but people who drafted LeBron, and I saw, you know, people making the case for him, he should be drafted number one, because he played 82 games the year before. LeBron's a cyborg, he never gets hurt. And all that was true, but as I say ad nauseum, a player is an Iron Man until they get hurt, and a player is injury prone until they're not. And LeBron got hurt. And there is a large, large, large chance that LeBron ends up playing fewer games this season than both Blake Griffin and Danilo Gallinari. 2 players who many of you guys listening would have had very, very firmly written onto your draft list as do not draft. You know I hate the term do not draft list, but you would have had that on your list. Not everyone, but a lot of you would have had that because in the past they've been injury prone. Now, Gallinari's missed a little bit of time this season, but he's still on track to play 65, almost 70 games. Griffin's probably going to go past the 75-game mark. And these are guys who have historically been injured a lot. But again, those injuries, unless it's a chronic degenerative problem, there's a lot of luck or flukiness involved in a lot of these injuries. And putting massive, massive stock into... And at some point, Karl-Anthony Towns, he missed his first games this season with a concussion. At some point, he is going to get hurt. I guarantee you, it's going to happen. He's going to get hurt. Andrew Wiggins was also that guy who never missed a game his first 3 seasons, and he missed a lot of time this season. Not that he's a good fantasy player, but the same thing holds true. So making draft decisions and jumping guys, you know, up because of that, I understand dropping guys down, and that often gets reflected in ADP with Griffin and Gallinari significantly lower where they probably should be in ADP type numbers. But jumping guys up because in the past they haven't got hurt, I don't think is a necessarily very good strategy, and it is going to play out that way, that LeBron is going to play fewer games than Griffin and Gallinari this year. Another player who people avoided like the plague because of injury issues a couple of seasons ago, Drew Holiday has actually succumbed to injury now. I believe he played every game up until now, and now he's dealing with an abdominal strain, which is going to keep him out between 7 to 10 days. Of course, there was the bullshit about Holiday and the minutes restriction, which never actually happened. He's been playing 34 a night. This screams of the Pelicans taking it slow on this injury. I wouldn't be stunned if he misses 2 weeks. And the question's going to come, do we drop Drew Holiday? And it's all going to be an individual type thing. If you are in a playoff battle and you're not having him for this week and you're in, and you can use this, you know, on our weekly projection stuff on Basketball Monster, and it's in a tight battle, you might have to, because there's no point waiting for him to be back for your grand final matchup if you're not in the grand final. Simple as that. And while it might hurt to drop a guy who's been as unbelievably good as Holiday is, to actually survive, you might need to do that. In other situations where you're going to buy this week, you've got to buy next week, you can hold on to him. Yeah, hold on to him. And let's see what other information we can get. Now, the other question people will be asking is who benefits here? I think we're going to see Alfred Payton get an increase in usage. He's probably been a must-roster 12-team league guy anyway. That elevates at the moment. More usage going to guys like Kenrick Williams, Julius Randle. And then you're going to see Frank Jackson, who's never met a shot he didn't want to take. He is not a well-rounded fantasy guy who has poor percentages, not great free throws, low rebounds, low assists, not very much in terms of steals. But he will go out there and he'll probably have, in this time frame that Drew's out, he'll probably have a 20-point game. We'll also see Ian Clark and Etuan Moore, although Moore is out for Friday, have some increase in value for those guys. But they're not. None of those guys are going to be must-roster 12-team league guys outside of Alfred Payton. I think you'll see Jackson push up to be a 14-team streamer, Clark to be like an 18-team league guy. But I don't think either of these guys, or Etuan Moore for that matter, become must-roster 12-team league guys with the news of Drew Holiday. The other injury news that came out today was Kenneth Faried's going to miss the next couple. Nobody is holding on to him in 12-team leagues, surely, after he's missed the last two games, will miss the next two games with a hip injury as well, and plus with the return of Clint Capela, even though they did start alongside each other for two games, one of those without James Harden. So that is the news of the day. Let's move into these games now, the two of them across the league for Thursday, and see what information that we can glean out of those ones. The first game we look at, the Indiana Pacers got pretty handily beaten by the Bucks, 117-98. Miles Turner played 35 minutes and had 22-17 with 4 triples and 3 blocks. Wasn't all that efficient, but took a ton of threes, 11 of them, and those overall numbers are pretty good. Thad Young had a nice old Richie Beno.
2 for 2, 2, 2.
2 threes, 2 steals, and 2 blocks for Thad with 10 points. And Darren Collison struggled, but he still added 9 assists and a steal, and he remains a must-roster guy, as does Bojan Bogdanovic, whose efficiency hurt his overall numbers, 17 points. Not a lot else really happening on this Pacers team. Tyreke Evans continues to get worse and worse somehow. For the Bucks, Yanni had 29, 12, and 5, and he hit all 8 of his free throws.
A surprise, to be sure, but a welcome one.
When you're getting Yanni going 8 of 8 from the free throw line, you know you're in for a pretty good day. Middleton had 27 points with 4 assists and 3 steals, while Lopez had 4 blocks and 3 threes. One of the best blocks and threes combination guy, probably is the best in the entire league at this point. Maybe Miles Turner could have something to say about that. Bledsoe had 12, 5, and 4 in his 26 minutes. Brogdon struggled a little bit, but overall, this game was a blowout. Dante DiVincenzo, the big Ragu, he returned to action after missing about the last 2 months. Nothing to really see there outside of deeper formats, and this game was that much of a blowout that Pau Gasol actually played 11 minutes in this game. Next up, the Thunder beat the Blazers in overtime, 129-121. Paul George had 32, 14, and 6. The shooting was horrible. 30% on 23 attempts, that's terrible, but 17 of 20 from the line is excellent. Westbrook, actually good from the field, 14 of 28 for 37 points with 5 threes and 7 rebounds. Well, Steven Adams struggled, but you know, I guess redeemed himself due to the overtime, 12 and 7, 2 steals and 2 blocks in 39 minutes, but it was looking pretty ugly in a lot of cases with Adams. Much like I talked about Mirotić, especially in your 10-team leagues, you might consider moving on. I probably wouldn't. But with the way that he's been struggling at the moment, it is something to at least consider. Schroeder had 14, 4, and 4 with Terrence Ferguson getting into some foul trouble. That did boost Schroeder's minutes, but Ferguson played a lot in that overtime period, while Jeremy Grant had 14 and 6, also in foul trouble, allowing Markieff Morris to play 23 minutes. For the Blazers, Nurkic got ejected at the end of regulation, 13 and 17 with 2 steals and a block. McCollum had 25 points on 24 shots. And then Rocket Rodney Hood played 32 minutes and didn't do a huge amount. Really, a lot of business as usual. You can drop Enes Kanter in all 14 team leagues. He had 3 points in 18 minutes, while Mo Harkless struggled. 2 points, missed all three of his shots. He is a specialist. He's a defensive stats specialist who can be utilized in 12 team leagues. And I mentioned the last game, he had 20 points on, I think, 60 or 70% shooting, which was never going to continue. And that's not why you're rostering him. You're doing it for the steals and blocks. And he brought that here. Unfortunately, he only had 2 points, which is a real disaster in that category. But if he fits what you need in that rebounding, steals, blocks type of a mold as a small forward, then he can be of use as long as you're not relying upon him to provide those 20 points per game, which is what he did one game before this one. Let's move on now to talk DFS because there is a lot more games happening for Friday than there was for today. On DraftKings, the perfect lineup, we had McCollum, Pat Connaughton, Chris Middleton, Paul George, Miles Turner, Dame Lillard, Kylo Quinn, and Yusuf Nurkic for a total of $354.75. And that cost $49,900. And on FanDuel, we had Corey Joseph, Lillard, Middleton, McCollum, McDermott, George, Aminu, Morris, and Miles Turner for a total of $324.4. And that cost the full $60,000. All right, let's go into Friday's games now, focusing on the 9 games across the NBA. Major focus on DraftKings pricing for today. The first game we look at, the Washington Wizards taking on the Charlotte Hornets. The Hornets are 5-point favorites here. The total is 234, one of the largest totals of the day. We know that centers have been putting up some really, really big performances against the Hornets. We saw Hassan Whiteside have that monster game in only 20 minutes the other night. The Wizards don't really have good centers, but it could be an opportunity for someone like Thomas Bryant or Bobby Portis to put up some big numbers in this matchup. Bismack Biyombo is listed as probable with a knee issue for the Hornets, but he's not getting enough minutes to really be any impact. At point guard, Kemba Walker's at 8,100. I really like this for Kemba. He's averaging 44 against the Wizards the last 3 times out. I think he's a very strong cash floor play with some significant, you know, 60-65 point upside here. So I like it for both forms of the game. Tone Parker, not really. Thomas Satoransky at 5,500. Putting up 30 a night, which at 5,500, you have to love that floor. The minutes, I don't think, are going anywhere. He had 45 points last game in an almost triple-double. I think he's a relatively strong cash guy as well. At a similar price point, at shooting guard, Jeremy Lamb's at 5,600. A bit of a disappointment last time out, but still yielded 21 points. So I do think that 30, 35 points is not an unrealistic expectation here for Jezza. Or Nicky Batum at 5,500 also just cranking out the really high floor games and has done very well since Lamb has moved into that bench role. And another guy who's consistently crushing it, Bradley Beal, just chalk him up for 50 a night. And at 9,500, I don't see how you go wrong with that. So all in all, there's a lot of options that we can look at, especially at those guard positions in this one. Miles Bridges and Trevor Ariza are small forward. I'm not really super into either of those guys, while Marvin Williams is down at 4,400. He has done very well against Washington in the past. He's on a little bit of a cold streak at the moment, averaging just 21 over the last 5. I think if you're going to use Marv, you're looking as more of a tournament guy. He can be quite up and down, and it has been a pretty poor run from him of late. On the flip side, it's been a great run from Jabari Parker, who's only at 4,900. That is an $800 price rise, but averaging over 30 points in his last 5. The minutes are on the way up. The shooting is really high, 90% last game. That's not going to stick, but if he can keep himself at a similar usage rate and see those minutes jump up closer to 30 than 25, then he should be able to bring back $4,900 worth in value. For the big men, you got Frank the Tank Kaminsky, who still is at 3,900, who's getting 25 a night over the last 3. That's giving us over 26 DraftKings points a game, and you can't argue with that. I think he is okay for cash. There is an element of downside there with Kaminsky if they decide that, A, he's not that good and he shouldn't be playing this many minutes. But with what's happening at the moment with Frank the Tank, 25 or 26 feels like, yeah, pretty close to a shoe-in. Cody Zeller at 53, I don't really see the upside with him, while Punch Bob at 49, the only reason I'd consider Portis is given the matchup here, the same reason with Tom Bryant at 43. Realistically, both of those guys just GPP options. On FanDuel, I like Lamb at 66, Kemba at 9,000, I like Brad Beal a lot at 10,500, a massively strong floor play, I think, on FanDuel. Marvin Williams, again, that tournament GPP guy. Cody Zeller and Frank Kaminsky, not terrible options on FanDuel with their respective pricing. Frank with that $4,400 mark. And yeah, what he's been doing lately has been around that same level. Jeff Green at 45 is always just a GPP guy.
My name is Jeff.
The next game that we take a look at here, We've got the Dallas Mavericks and the Orlando Magic. The Magic are 7-point favorites. The total is 213.5 here. Big opportunity for Nikola Vucevic, with the Mavericks allowing some pretty decent numbers to opposition centers of late, and really to a lot of positions. The Mavericks have been poor in recent times. That point guard, Jalen the Burner Brunson, who is quite up and down. He did have 29 points last time out against Orlando. He's coming off a 27-point game in the Mavericks' last outing. So at 3,700, I do really like Brunson here. I think he's got some cash value and some tournament upside. Well, DJ Augustin at 4,500 has been relatively consistent. I just don't really like that price. The only reason, much like when talking about centers in the last game, the only reason I'd be actually having any interest in Augustin here is that of late, the Mavericks have been one of the easiest teams for opposition point guards to put up numbers against. Luka Doncic, 9,300. He had 65 last game. Maybe a little bit high here for the Donch. But it's not an egregiously bad price point for him, and a relatively strong floor is always welcomed. Terrence Ross missed last game with an Achilles issue. He's been upgraded to probable. He's at 4,700. A great tournament play here, I think, just with how well he'd been playing prior to that injury, or really all season, to be honest. At shooting guard, Timmy Hardaway and Evan Fournier. Fournier probably feel a bit more better about him, and that's terrible English, at 5,700. I don't really like either of them super strongly. While Justin Jackson put up 28 last game with Maxi Kleber out. Now, if Kleber is out again, Justin Jackson at 34 could be that GPP guy, but otherwise I wouldn't have any keen value in him. Johnny Isaac at 51. I think that price is about right for Isaac, and I'd feel okay about his floor in cash with that sort of a price tag. Or Aaron Gordon at 6,900.
Giggity!
He's been okay. I think there are better bets across the board in this 9-game slate, but Gordon's not someone to completely disavow yourself of. For the big men, Dirk's at 3,300. I imagine Nowitzki goes back and starts next game. His last couple have been really, really poor. I think he's still more of a GPP guy than anything. Nikola Vucevic, 9,200. Realistically, a big opportunity for him to go big here for 50 points. It is a realistic expectation for Vuce against Dallas, so I like him. While Dwight Powell, absolutely killing it. He's at 6,700, giving us 39 a night. I don't have 100% trust in Carlisle and Dwight Powell's minutes, but I have more trust than I've had with him in the past. I think he's worth looking at, but I also think there are better plays across the board than using Dwight Powell, despite how well he's been playing. On FanDuel, Ross at 5,000 comes in pretty strong. I think Fournier is a much better option on FanDuel at 58. There's value in him. Same with Gordon and same with Vooch. Both of those guys come out looking pretty nice over on FanDuel. And Brunson at 47, not quite the same appeal as him on DraftKings, but still with him, yeah, on most nights putting up decent numbers, he is at least a tournament option. Doncic at 98 is also a better FanDuel than DraftKings play, I believe. Next game, we've got the Detroit Pistons and the Chicago Bulls. The Pistons are 3.5-point favorites, and the total is 218.5. Zach LaVine has been killing it, putting up some really, really strong numbers of late. Luke Kennard, the Duck, he's listed as probable for Detroit with foot soreness, while Zaza Pachulia is questionable with Achilles inflammation. He missed the last game with that issue. At point guard, Reggie Jackson, disappointing last game, but at 5,100 in a positive matchup. Yes, Chris Dunn's a good defender, but point guard's been putting up good numbers against the Bulls. I like Reggie a lot here. Dunn at 4,900 would just be a GPP guy, while LaVine at 75, I love that for cash, and I like it for tournaments. Archer Jackineau, who's getting some of these minutes overdone, probably not really worth looking at. Well, Ishii Smith was big last game, 35 points for Smith, and at 3,600, that's obviously great. I don't really trust that to reproduce. As for the Duck, Kennard's at 4,600. He's routinely giving us 30. You give me 30 at 4,600 in a matchup against LaVine or whatever trash the Bulls run off the bench, I really like Kennard at that salary. The Duke Wayne Ellington, definitely lower on my list. Seldon, the Shark, Bruce Brown. Baby Shark, no interest. Otto Porter, I am interested in 6,100. That feels like an absolute lock for cash, for tournaments. That is so, so low for Porter. Even though the Pistons have been really good at limiting opposition wing players, that's just too low for Otto Porter, in my opinion. And then we go to the big man, Lauri Markkanen at 7,700. On the back of a couple of really poor performances from Lowry. Prior to that, he was giving us 40 a night. This is a tough matchup for Markkanen. I'd probably fade again. While Blake Griffin at 86, it's a positive matchup for him and for Andre Drummond, who both come in pretty strong. 8,800 for Drummo here. I like Drummond more than Griffin, but both guys are in play. While Robin Lopez, 5,200, he's a 30-plus guy a night. The minutes, no worries to him at all. Yeah, I like him especially for cash games. On FanDuel, Jackson at 55 looks really good. I like Griffin a lot on FanDuel at 85. He's a much better option than Drummond, I think, who comes in at 10,000. Markkanen at 81, that's an interesting enough price on FanDuel that I would take a look at him. Kennard, Robin Lopez, 5,800 for Robin, maybe pushing a bit too far. 54 for Kennard, I do like that. And the 85 for Zach LaVine is high, but I still think that he's got some value there. Next up, we've got the Toronto Raptors and the New Orleans Pelicans matching up here. The Raptors are 4.5-point favorites in this matchup. The total, 232.5. Davis Price is down significantly from where it was earlier in the season, of course. And we know that Drew Holiday is out for this one and for the next 7 to 10 days. So this could get really ugly really quickly. I wouldn't be surprised if Kawhi sat this one out, to be honest, even though I think he's in a really good spot. I could see that happening. At point guard, Lord Alfred Payton's at 5,000. I love that here for Payton with Holiday out. A lot more ball handling. Cash tournaments, love it. And then alongside him, Frank Jackson at 3,200. I don't know if they start Etuan Moore or Ian Clark or Frank Jackson, but we've seen Jackson get more minutes than both of those guys nearly every night. I think he can push to 30, and at that 3,200 point, $3,200 salary for Frank Jackson, he can very easily get you 20. And if he gets you 20, you're already staring at 6.5x value. If he gets you 30, you're staring at 10x value. So I love Frank Jackson here. He's going to be really, really chalky. Kyle Lowry, 7,100. It's a very good matchup for him with Drew Holiday out. So I think he is a worthwhile guy to take a look at as well. Jan Clark at minimum salary. Yeah, in a tournament maybe, but he's just not that good. At shooting guard, Dan Green, we know about him. He's always just a tournament guy. And then for the small forwards, Kenrick Williams is down to 4,000. He exceeded that pretty comfortably last game, 26 points. And with Holiday out, more usage is going to have to go to other areas. So I like Kenrick quite a bit here. Stan Johnson at 3,000. He could get some extra one. Oh, I mentioned Etuan Moore. Sorry, he's out. He's not even playing in this game. So Stan Johnson and Kenrick Williams, they're going to get a big run. Same as Frank Jackson there as well. There's a lot of value. Now, Stan is up and down quite clearly. I think he's more of a tournament guy than guys like Kenrick or Frank Jackson. Darius Miller at 32, probably not interested there. The fun guy, Kawhi Leonard.
I'm a fun guy.
8,900 for Kawhi. Great matchup. Who the hell is going to stop him if he plays? Really, really like Kawhi here in this matchup. And then we go to the big man, Mark Gasol.
Oh, hi, Mark.
I don't know if he's going to start. I don't know if he's going to come off the bench. If he starts at that $5,600 price point, there's a lot of value in that. And if he gets 30 minutes, he smashes that number. We just don't know at this point. But the Pelicans have been allowing some pretty big numbers to opposition centers lately. Speaking of opposition centers who allow big scoring nights, Jahlil Okafor is questionable for this one as well. Julius Randle's at 82. Absolute lock, cash, floor sort of guy at that salary. He's getting 40 a night without hesitation. And then Pascal Siakam, similarly, love his floor for cash at 7,000. If you can't spend up for Randall, getting Siakam at that salary works. Tone Davis all the way down at 6,600. He is still giving us 38 a night over the last five in 21 minutes. And 38 points at 6,600, it works. But I think that with the uncertainty of what they're going to do with his minutes, plus the limited upside due to the minutes, it's hard to really consider Davis too much of a GPP guy. Cheick Diallo, not really happening at this point. While Serge Ibaka, if he starts at 54, I like it. If he comes off the bench, I hate it. That's really all it boils down to there with Serge. On FanDuel, Frankie Jackson at 37 and Alfred Payton, I like both of those guys. I like Kenrick, I like Kawhi, I like Pascal as well. Randle at 9,000, which is higher than DraftKings, obviously still comes in at a pretty nice price. Let's go on now to the next game. We're looking at the Philadelphia 76ers and the Houston Rockets. I've written there that we're waiting on Embiid. No need to wait anymore. He has been ruled out of this game. No spread or total. Just out at this point for this matchup. Ken Fareed has also been ruled out for the next two games, while Iman Shumpert is listed as questionable in this one. Boban also out for the Sixers. At point guard, Chris Paul, 7,500. He's giving us 35 a night really comfortably. I like Paul quite a bit here, while Benny Simmons, without Embiid, is putting up the big numbers, averaging 51 over the last five. And you give me 50 at 9,100, then you should feel really, really good about that. For the shooting guards, JJ Redick's at 5,100. Realistically, at this point, just a tournament guy. While General Saunders, Jim Butler, 7,200 for Jimmy. He's giving us 37 a night, which is not bad. He's not my highest priority guy, but there is something there. Well, Eric Gordon, I can't trust him. He's in the Gerald Green tournament type value spots. PJ Tucker at small forward at 4,000. Don't even know why I mentioned him. While Prison Mike at 4,200 with Embiid and Boban out. Prison Mike's getting around 20 to 23 a night, which is not too bad. I just think there are going to be better options out there. While Toby Harris was dreadful last game, 19 points in 36 minutes. At 7,400, he'd been putting up numbers far superior to that in most of these games without Embiid. This could be an opportunity to get him at a low price and maybe see his roster percentage drop a bit. I love this for Capella, down to 6,700. He's been struggling, no one's denying that, but 6,700 is not high. 40 points is not out of the question. It's a massive positive without Embiid in for him as well. I really like Capella here. While Amir Johnson at 3,500, just 20 a night in the last couple of games. If we hear that Amir is starting, I think that that's not a bad cash one to come in there. While Jonah Boldinger, upside tournament guy at 4,200, in case they, for whatever reason, decide that playing him 25 minutes might make a little bit more sense. On FanDuel, Capella at 75 is pretty solid. More for tournaments, though, I'd say. Jimmy Butler at 82, that price works out nice for him. I didn't talk about Harden. I think he's maybe a little bit overpriced on both sides, but more preferable on FanDuel. While Chris Paul at 84 and Simmons at 10-6. I think the 10-6 for Simmons is too high. 84 for Chris Paul's got a little bit of value for FanDuel. Let's go on to the next one. We're looking at the Utah Jazz and the Memphis Grizzlies. The Jazz are favored by 5.5, and the total is 213.5. In yesterday's show, I detailed how well Derek Favors is playing of late. Epe Udo and Ricky Rubio are both doubtful. So with Rubio out, we imagine that Royce O'Neal moves into the starting lineup, and that really does elevate his value, Jingle and Joe Ingles' value, and the Donovan Mitchell's value.
He's Don. He's good.
For Memphis, Justin Holiday and Avery Bradley are both probable. Of course, Kyle Anderson and Jaren Jackson Jr. are both out. At point guard, Bradley's at 4,700. Last game wasn't great, but still 27 points. Absolutely no worries with getting him in there. While Mike Conley at 7,300. 73 is so low for Conley. He had 54 last game. He averages 41 against the Jazz. I like Mike quite a bit here. Donnie at 8,400 also comes in at a pretty strong price point. And DeLon Wright at 4,500. Really good from DeLon last game, but I'm not super into him if the backcourt is healthy. Kyle Korver at 3,700 for cash. He is getting a lot of extra shots with Harold Neto and Rubio out. You're going to get more Korver minutes. He's launching nearly every shot that he gets his hands on. And at that 3,700 salary, you get 22, 24, maybe 25 points. That is a significant return. CJ Miles at 32. He's a 20-point guy at the moment as well. Probably more for tournaments than anything else. Well, Jingle and Joe, the assist is through the roof. He's getting you 30 a night, you know, relatively comfortably, so I like him. And his chemistry with Favors has been really strong so far. Royce O'Neal at 33. I love O'Neal here. We know he's had a 40-point game this season. He does play well when he moves into that starting lineup alongside Mitchell, so expect really, really big minutes here for Royce. And I think he can give you the 24, 25 points, which is enough to give you that value at that 3,300. Crowder's a no from me, and Caboclo should start for Memphis, but that doesn't mean that he's a good DFS play. For the big men, Jonas Valanciunas, 6,500 for Jonas. Centers have done well against Gobert. We know that this season. Valanciunas has done well against Utah with a 36 average the last three meetings. If he pushes to 30 minutes, he smashes through 6,500. I'm not totally sold on Valanciunas here, but I do think that he's worth at least looking at. Well, Joakim Noah at 4,600, just consistently churning out close to 30-point performances, amazingly. I don't really love it here for Noah, but he could be an interesting tournament guy. While on the flip side, Gobert at 8,000, I really like that. He's a strong cash play with some value upside. While Derek Favors just constantly churning out big games, 38 average over the last five, and at 6,100, no reason to not consider Favors, who is blocking shots, usage is high, efficiency is through the roof. He is a guy at that price. I think I'm ready to consider him a cash guy at this stage. On FanDuel, O'Neal at minimum salary, you got to look at that. I like JV, I like Avery Bradley. The Don with Rubio out, that works in his favor. And the 84 for Conley looks pretty good. And Favors a significantly better FanDuel than DraftKings guy at 6,500. Next up, we've got the Cavs taking on the Miami Heat. The Heat are 8.5-point favorites. The big story of this is going to be what happens at that center position, and can Kelly Olynyk keep it up? He has been absolutely dominating for Miami of late. Goran Dragic is questionable. Tristan Thompson is out for Cleveland, while Ante Zizic is questionable with that concussion issue. Also, Matty Dellavedova is out for Cleveland. At point guard, Dwayne Wade, 5,400. Really, really like the cash value for Wade-O. And then Justice Winslow at 62. Really strong floor from Winslow. 28 minimum over his last five. That's his lowest score. And with Dragic, if Dragic is out in a very positive matchup for Justice, I think that he becomes a cash option. The Padawan, Colin Sexton, short Kevin Knox, he's at 4,600, realistically just for tournaments, while Dragic, who was electric before the calf issue, I don't think we can really rely upon him. At shooting guard, Joshie Richardson's at 6,000. I don't really see the value there. Waiters is a strong fade. While Jordy Clarkson with Dellavedova sidelined, I think Clarko at 5,200 is a good cash option with tournament upside. For the small forwards, Chetty Osman, 5,300. Very, very poor last game. Had been strong prior to that. The salary at 53 is okay. I think I'd be okay getting back to him, but probably more tournaments than cash. And then we look at the big men, which is where it's really happening. 5,800 for Olynyk, crushing it. Love the matchup for Cali. It's all about the minutes, and I love that for him. While Love at 7,800, really big numbers. 46 average in his last five in only 29 minutes. Sub 8,000 Kevin Love is a Kevin Love you need to get involved with. 6,000 for big Larry Nance, who should start again and should play big minutes if Zizic is out. Now, if Zizic plays, it's a little bit harder to rely on Nancy here. While Hassan Whiteside at 6,400, 46 points in only 20 minutes against the Hornets. I think that we can only really rely upon him for tournaments. It is a positive matchup for Hassan, but the minutes is going to be the squeeze. While 5,100 for Bam Adebayo, also realistically just tournaments. And of course, you're not going to want to roster both of those guys in the same lineup. Over on FanDuel, Olynyk again probably comes in as the best option. Wade at 62 is not far off, and I like Winslow quite a bit at 64, and Clarkson I love at 5,000 with the absence of Dellavedova. Kevin Love at 86 is maybe pushing too high, but it's not a complete disaster. There is still some value in him. Next game up is the Denver Nuggets and the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors, 6.5-point favorites. They've been losing quite a few games recently, coming off the last game against the Celtics. The total, 234, while Denver put about a big lead against the Lakers and then squandered it with poor bench play and then came back late and got the big victory. The question I have, which most people probably don't, is will Isaiah Thomas remain in the rotation? I think he's going to get absolutely cooked against the Warriors, so I think they're going to try it without him. This is going to be the game. Klay Thompson's missed the last couple with knee issues. He is probable, as is Sean Livingston and Kevon Looney. They are both probable. In this one, at point guard, the Blue Arrow, Jamal Murray, 6,200, historically has really struggled against Golden State. That won't necessarily be the case here, but he has been a rock-solid floor guy, giving us 30 a night nearly every night, so that's pretty good at 6,200. Curry's at 9,000. You won't really find Steph Curry this low all that often. The Nuggets have defended point guards relatively well. I think that this should be a close-ish game, and Curry could be a 50-point guy, but I'd only really be interested for him in tournaments. Malik Beasley, Monty Morris, Livingston, Cook, and Isaiah Thomas, I don't want anything to do with those guys. Clay's at 6,100. I think there is some appeal in him here, even with the knee issue, so I think he's worth looking at. I wouldn't want to commit fully there, though, with him. While Gary Harris...
Nice, Gary!
4,000 for Gazza, lit it up against the Lakers, 36 points. We know that he can do this. He's done it against the Warriors in the past. I think he's a very good tournament play, but I'm not ready to go full cash with him. While Farton, Will Barton at 59, I couldn't see any justification for using him outside of tournaments. For small forwards, Kevin Durant, 8,900. Much prefer that to Curry. Last game was poor for him against Boston. I don't imagine it's the case here. Maybe we see a little bit more Juancho Hernangómez, who's had some ability or some success in at least providing a somewhat of a nuisance to Durant. I don't know if Torrey Craig's going to be able to do that, but Durant at 8,900's got clear 50-point value in this one. For the big man, Cousins at 76, I like that, especially for tournaments. His numbers have been a little bit down lately, but if you're going to use Cousins in cash, this is not a bad spot. While Nikola Jokic at 10,100, 40 average against the Warriors in 30 minutes, has battled some foul trouble in previous matchups against Golden State. But he is rolling at such a high level that I like him irrespective of the matchup. Millsap and Jordan Bell, not really. Mason Plumlee, not really keen on any of those guys. On FanDuel, Durant at 92, Jokic at 10.9, they all come in pretty strong. Draymond at 68 on FanDuel, I like. Less interested in Cousins, and I think Jamal Murray at 66 also looks pretty strong on FanDuel. The last game of the night features the only back-to-back, the Oklahoma City Thunder taking on the LA Clippers in LA. The Clippers are favored by 1.5. You'd have to imagine that a large portion of that is the back-to-back. 236.5, the highest listed total of the entire day. Luke Marmute has been ruled out again. He has missed 60 consecutive games. Just an unbelievable stretch of missed games from Marmute. While Wilson Chandler is likely to return, but he's officially listed as quadricep. He's listed as questionable with a quadricep issue. At point guard, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is at 4,100. Good price for Shai. The minutes in the production have been up. He's giving us 26, 27 a night, which is pretty okay at that 41. So I feel pretty okay, and I said that twice, but I feel good with using him. Westbrook's at 10.8. I think there's value in him. While Schroeder at 56, I only feel really comfortable with him as a tournament guy. Patty Beverley at 54. We're going to be reactivating the Beverley-Westbrook rivalry in this game. Beverley at 5,400 looks like a real bargain option to me. At shooting guard, we've got Lou Williams, who's a point guard as well. 6,800 for Lou. More of a tournament. He's been pretty cool in what he's been doing. Temple and Ferguson, they're not going to really get me all that interested at all. And then Landry Shamet at 41. Yeah, probably, again, tournaments who gets hot from three. The Rooster, Danilo Gallinari, 6,200. Just consistently giving us 32 or 33 a night. For cash, that's fine. For tournaments, the upside doesn't seem to be there with him, while a sub-10,000 Paul George at 9,700, I am interested in that, despite some struggles in some of his recent games. Markieff Morris, Jermichael Green, Wilson Chandler, no. I like Steven Adams at 6,200. All season centers against the Clippers have put up big numbers, so that 62 for Steve-O is pretty good. If it's a Zubats at 43, probably a little bit high for what Zubats is doing, while Montrez, the table, Harrell, 6,300. It's okay, some cash value, but not definitely not one of my better plays of the day. On FanDuel, I like Jeremy Grant at 56. I like Adams. I like Westbrook. I think Schroeder comes in a lot more appealing on FanDuel at 5,700 as well. While the Rooster at 73, I think, loses some of his charm. Let's go through now and look at some studs and values. There's a lot of similarity across the sites for Friday. Kemba on DraftKings is my best start, and my value is Royce O'Neal. On FanDuel, my stud is Kawhi, and my value is Royce O'Neal. On Yahoo, my stud is Kawhi, and my value is Royce O'Neal. And on DraftStars, my stud is Kawhi, and my value is Royce O'Neal. So putting a lot of faith in Royce O'Neal and Kawhi, just given their situations. Lower price for Kawhi, good matchup. O'Neal with the late Rubio news as well, where the sites haven't updated the prices on him. So some value in those guys, but a ton of other value across other games too. That does it for another week of the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast. You're stuck in traffic. Why don't you go on to your next favorite Locked On show by telling your smart device to play the podcast Locked On and then insert the team name there. You might want to hear about the latest Rubio injury, so David Locke will have that for you over on Locked On Jazz. Just say play the podcast Locked On Jazz, but subscribe to this show as well, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, and leave a 5-star rating. If you've had an enjoyable season to this date, hey, keep listening, but go leave a 5-star rating or review. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Mike Conley.